Coming up on Dig It.
I just used to sit in the playground and look around and think, God, this feels really freaking bleak. This is, I can't see anybody who's like me. And I found it really hard.
You know, I've moved quite a lot. God, I do feel a bit like a nomad sometimes. It's like, where do I actually belong?
And I went behind one of the boulders and had a huge dump. To this day, I've never told him.
That message got better and better every word Kay uttered. 25 years of happiness and he's still not seen her poo.
All of that right after this.
Hello, I'm here during the lunch rush with Janice, who owns her own food truck.
Best cheesesteaks in town.
Janice traded up to Geico Commercial Auto Insurance for her food truck business. We're here where she needs us most.
They sure are.
We make it so easy for her to save, with customised coverage that grows with her business. Sorry, I just get so emotional talking about saving folks money.
Not this onion I'm chopping?
It's just so beautiful. Oh, yeah, nice, the onion.
Get a commercial auto insurance quote today at geico.com and see how much you could save. Get more with Geico.
Happy Monday, Joe.
Hi.
Shall we dig in?
Yeah, let's do it.
Let's get straight on with it.
Hi, Zoe. Hi, Joe. My name's Alpa. I'm from Hove. And recently, Zoe came in to see me for an eye test. I'd just like to say you're absolutely lovely, Zoe. Oh. It was a pleasure to meet you. On a completely different note, I'm recently divorced. I have 7-year-old twins. And I'm just starting to think about getting back into dating. And now with all these dating apps and the new ways of doing things, do you have any tips for me? I mean, it's all very alien and I'd love for you to share anything that would help me along my new journey. Thanks. Bye.
Oh, Alpa. You said to me, go to Vision Express. I went to Vision Express and I met Alpa. Oh, it's fantastic. They do it all on a machine. It's so quick. It's brilliant.
And my eye's done this week as well.
So, Alpa, really lovely to meet you. And yeah, you're just coming out the other side of a divorce and starting to think about dating again. Well, where do you even begin? On dating apps, can I just say that I know quite a few people who have met their partners on dating apps. A lovely relative of mine, I won't name him, met his fabulous girlfriend who we love and adore on a dating app. And I remember him first showing me her picture, her profile. And then, but he was a bit scared and then he didn't, and then he did, and then he didn't, and then he didn't. He was like, shall I do it? And they met on a dating app and they're wonderful. And also another friend of mine met her fabulous fella on a dating app. So although they can seem like scary places to be, don't be put off. But I quite like that our producer, Jonathan, has told us about the Cilla Black method, which is a bit like blind date. So you might have three people, okay, who you could be talking to. But then if you're going to go on a date with one of them, put the other two to the back burner. So you're actually only seeing one person, so you don't complicate it too much. But I think it is a numbers game. Quite a few friends have told me dating apps are a numbers game and that you might have to cast your net a slightly further afield than your local area. Don't be put off if there's a bit of distance, because a bit of distance can be good at times. So I think you just got to go for it, Alpa. I think you got to get some friends of yours to help you make a profile, choose a really good picture and just go for it. And at least the best thing you can do is just start having a look at who's on there. Who is there on there? And just take the chance and meet some people, because lots of people say it's quite fun, actually. Although it's a bit sort of overwhelming and can be a bit scary going on dates, just see it as a bit of fun, maybe, and that you've been through a hard time and maybe, you know, just go on a few dates and see how it goes and prepare to play the numbers game.
Yeah, think of it as an adventure. I've got a couple of friends who've exactly the same. You know, one of them has had many, many, many adventures, and she's so utterly entertaining when she tells us about all these weird dates that she goes on. Some of them successful, some of them not so much, but they're still, they're stories. You know, even if it doesn't go right, Alpa, you'll be able to regale people with stories of the dates that you've been on and how funny they were, how hilarious they were. And then ultimately, the right person will come along, hopefully. I've got another friend who's been with her boyfriend now for about 6-7 years, you know, it's for keeps now, and they met and they are so well suited, because you're putting down what you're into, the, you know, the the sport that you like to do or the films you like to watch, it's really good, isn't it, to meet someone that you know already will have a shared interest with you. So you can, at the very worst, you just go and have a drink with somebody and just talk about great films that you love and see if there is a spark between you. So I think exactly like Zoe said, I mean, it's been years since I was in this game, but exactly like Zoe said, just go for it and think of it as a bit of fun and then see what comes along. And hopefully, ultimately, you'll find someone amazing.
Yeah. And I think you know from the chat, don't you? This is something I'm definitely learning from friends, you know, someone who comes back to you, somebody who doesn't muck you about, someone who's not going to play a game, who's obviously, you know, and I think you can be quite honest with people, just say that, are you seeing loads of people? Are you not? How long have you been in this game? And the other thing is when you go on dates, sort of choose, you know, some friends have gone on dog walks with people, which is quite nice. Some people have met for coffee initially rather than meeting in the evening. So maps be meeting in the day, and see what the chat's like. I mean, we're not on dating apps, so it's hard for us to tell you how it'll be. But I'm just sort of sharing some of what my friends have told me. And it is really fun, because then you will provide lots of entertainment for your mates as well. And Alpa, you're absolutely beautiful and very, very gorgeous. And clearly you've got a really lovely heart. So I don't think you'd have trouble meeting someone lovely out there. I really hope there's somebody out there who's looking for you as well and finds you. And Alpa, can we live our lives through you precariously?
Yes.
Will you share about your adventures?
Yeah,
and
let us know.
I hope we've not steered you wrong. If anyone has any tips for people starting out on dating apps, for example, which ones are the better ones? You know, which are the good apps? I remember trying to go on Raya, whatever it's called, and I couldn't understand it. Just kept sending me people in Los Angeles and Denmark who looked totally unsuitable for someone like me. So if there are good dating apps, let us know which ones that you've had success with. And if you've got any tips for Alpa, we will share them with her.
Don't forget, if Dig It makes your week a bit brighter, hit subscribe on YouTube or hit follow on Apple or Spotify. And that way, brand new episodes will be ready and waiting for you as soon as they're out. Next up, we've got a message from Sam. Sam's question is, I have a question about how you both felt moving out of London. My husband and I lived there before our baby came along. And then when I became pregnant, we had to move out as we couldn't find anywhere in our budget to buy. I wasn't ready to move away because I absolutely loved the city. It took me a very long time to enjoy my new surroundings. We do visit London a lot. And like you, Zoe, we live on the Sussex coast and absolutely love walking on the South Downs. So did either of you struggle at first? I love the podcast. It's like having two new friends. Amazing. Thank you for both being so open and discussing everything. And that is from Sam. You can't stop us discussing everything. It just kind of blurts out.
We really cover all sorts of subjects. It's funny, Sam, when we start to do the podcast in the morning, we're like, well, we might talk about that. We might talk about this, might talk about that. And then we go completely off, end up talking about
tangents. Yeah.
Merkins. Who knows? So moving out of London, it's sort of something that everybody's had to do because London prices are so tough. You know, I remember the days back, you know, I mean, going back a few years now, so 25, 30 years, where all my friends lived very central in London, you know, and people were in Chalk Farm and people were in Holland Park or Brixton or wherever. And everybody gradually, all my friends gradually had to move further and further. So people were further north, further east, further west, to the point until people realised that if you wanted a nice family home, it was, you were much better off moving completely out of London and having a bit of space. And it can be tricky if you've got a commute, because both Joe and I work in London and I probably should still live in London, but my family life brought me to Brighton. Yeah, it does take a bit of adjusting when you first move out, doesn't it? It does. It
really does, yeah.
If you have to commute, I just curse trains. Oh, God, not
sometimes
again.
I love them. Yeah, sometimes I love them. But the chaos that goes with trains, with commuting, you know, when something goes wrong and then the trains are delayed or cancelled. And when you've got a job to do and you've got to be there at a certain time.
But yeah, it can be. But it's what you get when you move out of a city is wonderful. And, you know, if you've got families and you just want fresh air and beautiful countryside. I think a lot changed during COVID. I know that amongst my friends during COVID, people started to work from home. So what you kind of wanted from your home changed quite a lot. I think then people panicked and like, actually, I don't want to be in a city when it's shut down and it's like this. I actually do.
Yeah, it was quite scary, wasn't it?
Yeah, really scary.
Sam, when we moved out of London, we moved back to Northamptonshire, which is where I grew up. And there's that thing in your head, I think, of not wanting wanting to move back to where you came from. You want to feel like you've progressed in life and you've moved somewhere different and you're exciting, you're an adventurer and you've moved on, you're not going back. And then ultimately you go, oh, I quite like to be near my family, actually, because I quite like them. And it's really helpful, you know, that my parents can help look after my children. That really kind of works. And then quite like some more space and a bigger garden. And then everything just adds up and it all just points to going back to where you came from. But in your head, it takes a lot of adjusting. And when we moved back, it was about, God, 25 years ago or so. And it was very, very different then because I'd lived in London. I'd lived in North London. Absolutely loved it. It was very cool. There were loads of really great cafes and coffee shops and art places to go to take India to do expressive dance or whatever it was. Coming back to a little village in Northamptonshire, there was no Starbucks. There was no cute little cool cafe to sit and talk to your friends and meet new exciting people with like minds. There was none of that going on. I just used to sit in the playground and look around and think, God, this feels really freaking bleak. I can't see anybody who's like me. There's no one I'm going to have a good conversation with. And I found it really hard. I really was not that happy in the beginning. And then your kids start going to school and then you do meet people who are a little bit like you or people who aren't like you but you really like and you get on well with them. But Sam, it does take a long time and I really did struggle with it a lot and I'm really very grateful that I don't live too far away from London because I can go in there and I can get my fix of culture and I can go shopping and I can do all the things that I used to love in London but then I escape to the country. Good title for a TV show. And and it really, I love the open air and I love the gardens and I love going to the woods and the fields and all the benefits that comes with being out of the city. And I feel safe. And whenever there's a crisis in London, I think, thank God I haven't brought my kids up in London. Thank God I don't live in London. And I've made the right decision. I know I've made the right decision, but I can see my kids going through it now. You know, India and Alex really wanted to, well, they want to buy a new house. Hopefully, fingers crossed, they have bought a new house, but they couldn't do that in London. There was just nowhere that they could afford in London. And it was really, really difficult because India loved London. She absolutely loved it with every fibre of her being. But she had to make the decision that this was the sensible thing to do. And they've moved out so that they can do all the outdoor sports. They can go on cycle rides and they can go running and they can have all the benefits of living in the countryside and actually being able to afford a house. And so that's what they've done. So I feel like I've been living through it. I've done it myself 25 years ago. Now I'm doing it with my kids as well. And it's really hard. It is a struggle. But ultimately, it kind of works out.
And I think it's the same in most cities. We're talking about Glasgow or Manchester or Birmingham. You know, it's what you need in life as your life changes. And also, you know, I've moved quite a lot. And I sometimes have been a bit like, God, I do feel a bit like a nomad sometimes. It's like, where do I actually belong? Because your life changes and you need different things. And I think sometimes, you know, like a snail, I pack up my house and I take it somewhere else and set up camp somewhere else again. I think of when Nell grows up and she moves away. And if I'm working in London, would I move back into London for my work? Because then, you know, you don't have to commute and stuff like that. I don't know. I'm always up for a new house and a new project and a new home. And
yeah,
but yeah, you will adjust and you'll soon know if you've done the right thing. Because the balance, and it's a bit like relationships, isn't it? You've got to compromise. Sometimes you have to compromise in where you live. And you might lose one thing, but you'll gain something else. And you'll make it work. And then you'll soon know, you're like, if it doesn't work. Like Nell and I moved to the countryside and then we were too far on the countryside. Should we go back to the city?
It's okay to say, to do that, isn't it? It's okay to go, this is actually not right and I'm going to change it.
And I think everybody always says, whenever you move all your stuff. And I see friends do it all the time. I am never moving again because you've got so much stuff and you've got to pack it up and move it somewhere else. And now I say never, because you don't know where life's going to take you. And sometimes you might think, do you know what? This has worked for a while for us all. And now we need something different. So, yeah, I'm always up for a new adventure with a home.
I sometimes think I'd like to move back to London.
Yeah.
So I would never say never to that. But then the kids, they're just like India said the other day, I had a nightmare and you'd sold the house and you didn't live there anymore. Promise me you will never, ever, ever leave that house. And you're like, okay, I promise you I will never, ever leave this house. So maybe I won't be allowed to leave the house.
Well, your home is amazing. Please don't sell your house.
All right, the parties will continue.
Yeah, never leave your house.
I don't know whether people are watching, which you can do on YouTube and Spotify, but the kitten has just joined me to do
Nemo.
The rest of the podcast. So Nemo's here again, just loving the cables and also the screens that are all around. And I keep talking to you, expecting you to suddenly disappear because he's going to jump on the laptop at some point. But
it's so anyway. Cute because his tail does like a little helicopter move and he whips and then he disappears from shot and then you never know where he's going to appear again.
We're going to take a quick break for some ads now.
If you'd like these episodes ad-free, why not become a subscriber to The Potting Shed?
You'll get longer episodes, bonus content, and when they happen, early access to our live shows.
But most importantly, you'll be supporting the show. To subscribe, head to deargitpod.co.uk or tap the link in the show notes. This episode of Dig It is sponsored by QVC.
Zoe, do you ever feel like this time of year just flies by?
Oh, absolutely. One minute it's bonfire night, the next minute you're frantically wrapping presents at midnight. There is so much to do for everyone else that you forget to stop for even 5 minutes.
Exactly. That's why Menopause Your Way at QVC is such a game changer. It's not just shopping. It's about reclaiming a bit of time for yourself and finding small ways to feel more like you again.
I ended up finding my new favourite Aveda shampoo there. It's rosemary and mint. The scent alone feels like self-care. And Liz Earle's Super Skin range. My skin just drinks it in.
And what's great is that QVC make it simple. Their Shop by Symptom tool helps you navigate the noise, whether you're struggling with sleep, mood, or dry skin. They've got expert advice on confidence, relationships, even relaxation techniques.
Plus, everything comes with QVC's extended money-back guarantee, which means you've got until the 31st of January to decide if it's right for you.
To explore more, search menopause at qvcuk.com and don't forget to use the code QDIG10 for £10 off your first purchase over £30.
That's QDIG10, QDIG10 for £10 off your first order over £30. For full terms, visit the QVC website.
Whether it's gifts for you or your friends, carve out a little time for yourself this Christmas with QVC. We were inundated and deeply moved by all the messages that came through. It was Kaya who messaged about how to celebrate her first Christmas without her husband. Her story really, really touched us and so many other people as well. So this came through from Jude. She said, "My mam was the heart of our family, so our first Christmas day without her was a huge tribute to her. It was Christmas with a Marie theme." So the menu, the drinks, the games, the table settings, everything that we did was a link to my mam and a story behind it. There were tears, yes, but also a lot of laughs. And organising the whole thing helped me and my daughter to feel better about Christmas without her because she was there. She was there in everything we did. That's from Jude. That is such a great idea. And so hopefully that will help other people who might be facing this Christmas without their loved one, just to have something you can be proactive in, which will make you cry, but will make you laugh as well. And they will live there. They will be there with you for that Christmas. So thank you, Jude. That was a brilliant, brilliant suggestion.
Yeah, that really was a lovely message. And Fiona commented, "I find Christmas quite tough as I have no family now, but I have a very treasured cat who's a wonderful companion. I usually open the few wonderful gifts I've been given after breakfast, send lots of messages to people I love, and then cook an organic chicken." Oh, I can almost smell it. "And a proper roast meal and watch my favourite programmes on TV. Soon the day is over and normality resumes." And I hope that is of comfort to anyone else who's spending Christmas alone like Fiona.
It is just another day. If you want to make it just another day, you can do that.
I know. For some people, I think they're just really relieved when it's all done.
Yeah. You know, get it out of the way. Yeah.
Also, another lovely thing you can do on Christmas Day, and a friend of mine does that, is volunteer. My friend goes and helps, you know, with shelter when they do, Christmas kitchens. Sometimes, you know, if you go and make it about someone else and giving a little bit back to the community, and then you feel like you've spent that time with other people who are really struggling at Christmas, I think that's a wonderful thing to do.
We also spoke about asking loved ones to write down stories so they can be shared. And Kay left us a voice note.
"Hi, Zoe. Hi, Joe. I just wanted to say I absolutely love your podcast. I look forward to listening to it on a Monday and a Wednesday when I'm in the car travelling up and down. I've been listening to your podcast, I think it was last week, and you were talking about losing loved ones. And it made me think about something we did as a group of friends when we were 50. I came up with the idea, there's 9 of us who have been friends since some since primary school and some since we went to secondary school, which we now call finishing school. We all wrote a letter to each person on the birthday and got out the old pictures that reminded us of that friend or the funny ones for that friend and gave them copies of them. So at the end of it, after 12 months, we had 9 sort of packs of letters, which everyone had received, and loads of photographs and poems and all sorts of funny things, funny stories. So I ended up where I put them in a book. So we had a book launch,
yes,
only for us at the beginning of this year. And it's just such a lovely thing to do. Rather than wait till somebody's gone and, and then talk about how special they are, we decided to do it while we're all still here. So I just wondered if you'd ever done anything special with your friends like this to celebrate friendship.
Do you know what, Kay? That is, honestly, it makes me want to cry with joy, though. What a beautiful thing to do. And you're so right. Celebrate people while they're here. My friends have put books together for me for big birthdays where everyone's put in photographs and put little stories and stuff. But this, I'm going to get my friends to do this now. This is such a good idea because we do, don't we? We share such funny stories of the things that we have been through and the times we have made each other laugh and the times we've cried together and the daft things that we've said and all the births, deaths and marriages that we've all shared and divorces and whatever we've all gone through. What a beautiful idea.
And it's a proper book. If you're watching this on YouTube and Spotify, you can see this. It's a proper book. I'm totally stealing that idea. I'm now thinking of the friends literally sitting here going, oh yeah, so-and-so would really love that. Oh, and I really, really need to tell so-and-so what, you know, we go through our stories that we've shared together. It's great. I love, love, love those photo books. I think they're so precious. When anyone makes them for me, I can't get enough of them. And I love making them for other people. I think they're easier now. They used to be so complicated in the when they first began.
I know.
But I love those.
And what Kay's done there is great because they're just sort of all typed out or they're written out and then you put it all in a book together and you've all got a book of friendship. Isn't that wonderful? And celebrate all those beautiful people whilst you're all here and you're well and healthy. And I think that's something I treasure more and more as I get older is some of my dear friends, both girls. Yeah, I've got some amazing girlfriends and also friends who are boys. And we are so there for each other through and downs and, you know, our parents being poorly and our kids going through stuff and, you know, people struggling with relationships or struggling with their mental health or whatever we're going through. And sometimes, you know, on a WhatsApp group, you can just be sound off about something that's gone on at home with someone or something. Or you're like, oh my God, this has happened and I'm so frustrated. And then everyone chips in with what they're like, yeah, I get it because this has just happened to me and so-and-so's just done this and you wouldn't believe what he's done now. And sometimes you just feel better about stuff.
Oh, just offloading.
Yeah, just offloading and being heard by your mates who understand and they're like, it's not so bad, it's all right. And what can seem like such a huge drama, you know, you can put it into perspective sometimes of like, oh, it's all right, thank you for listening.
To have them take the mickey out of you and laugh about it, it's what you want and what you need.
It really is.
I'm meeting a couple of my friends that I went to college with. So God, we've known each other since we were 19, 20. So I'm meeting Sue and Dee on Friday night and we try and see each other at least once a year. And it's been ages. And I remember when we met up, because it was Sue's 60th, I think. That was the last time we met. And so this is to celebrate my 60th. And just thinking, I'm really looking forward to seeing them, but thinking what's happened in our lives since that time. And we just document the passing of time and the growing up of our kids. And Dee's daughter got married, so we'll have a wedding to talk about. We'll have parents to talk about. It's going to, I'm feel like I'm going to the best therapy session ever with drinks on Friday night. And I cannot wait. I'm really cannot get to that appointment quick enough because I need to see my girls.
Oh, by the way, Nemo is being like Captain Cute.
He's in my lap, biting my thumb.
Anyone who is listening to the podcast, you may want to watch it because the kitten is doing some very, very cute things. We were talking about the scattering of ashes on the last podcast and I was talking about what to do with my mum's ashes and Sarah sent us this. I wanted to share my great escape ashes scattering. My mum died suddenly from cancer. She was the rock of our family, who was renowned for her epic present buying for her 8 grandchildren. As well as working as a vet, she spent an awful lot of time at Brent Cross Shopping Centre buying fabulous clothes for our kids. She was a regular. They will have known her well there, I imagine. So we honoured her shopping commitment by me, my sister and my nieces each taking a little plastic bag with her ashes in, pierced a hole in and secretly sprinkled her up and down the escalators and on clothes aisles. Sarah, this is wonderful.
Oh, so, Mum,
if you ever need to spend time with Mum, you just go to Brent Cross and she's
go
there.
Go down the escalator. Wow.
Sarah, that's so funny. The little holes in the bags. Do you know what? I had a lot of people send me messages because I was talking about Dad and my lovely stepmom, yeah, Di, wanting to have their ashes scattered at Anfield. And you can't actually scatter ashes at Anfield inside the stadium, but there are places around Anfield where you can officially scatter the ashes. But quite a lot of people message saying, so just get a drone and fly their ashes.
Oh, sprinkle them.
Field. So, yeah, if one day, I mean, you know, I'm not sure Liverpool are doing that well at the moment, so they probably don't need distraction, but, you know, and obviously my parents are still here, but in years to come, if you notice that a few of the players are rubbing their eyes, well, that's happened. So good.
Talking about climbing mountains, and Kay has left us a voice note.
Hey girls, this is Kay from Kent. When Jo was talking about her lovely Snowdon experience, it really made me laugh and I had to share with you that my boyfriend made me climb Ben Nevis once on holiday, promising me the most amazing coffee and a toasted tea cake when we got to the summit. When we got to the top, I realised it was just loads of massive rocks. No cafe, no toilets. I burst into tears as I felt so disappointed, and I also really needed a poo so badly, but I didn't want to tell my boyfriend. He hugged me close and whispered to me, "Never mind, I actually brought you here as I wanted to ask you to marry me."
No.
I was absolutely thrilled.
Oh my God.
But all I kept thinking was, God, I really need a poo. I said yes. And then I pretended I wanted a wee and I went behind one of the boulders and had a huge dump. To this day, I've never told him that I did that. I'm happy to tell you, though, we've been married 25 years. And also, he still has never seen me have a poo.
Oh, my God, what a journey
Kay,
that
you're
was,
an
Kay.
Absolute icon. I can't believe that. Your message got better and better every word Kay uttered.
Oh, God, the truth is out now. I hope he watches and listens to this. Oh, my God.
The truth is out. I can't believe you've been together 25 years and he has never seen you have a poo. Well done for keeping that. You see, you know, the people in my life are like, what is it with
Here
you?
We go.
It's always about the business end because I overshare and I will take a wild wee. I don't know if I've taken a wild poo. The good thing is, Kate, you know, it's all nature, isn't it? It's going to have gone back into the earth. But isn't that fantastic? The emotions in her. You've got there's no cafe. You're really upset. You want to poo. You don't realise you're about to be proposed to. I mean, there's so much going on there.
You're proposed to. You still desperately want to poo. You have to poo.
You're like, yes, darling, I love you. I'm just going to pop over here to gather myself.
You know, when you start sweating and going hot and cold and you're just like, oh God, I can't think of anything else.
Pull it back in. Pull it back in. Pull it back up. 25 years of happiness and he's still not seen her poo.
Or didn't know the story.
Does Steve, you know, how do I put this delicately? Do you and Disco, you ever in the same room? No, for number twos.
I would not do,
okay.
No.
Okay.
It's not the way I was brought up. Like I don't like the F word.
Yeah, you don't like the F word.
I don't, there's just certain stuff that, you know, my grandparents would never have done. My parents would never have done. So no, I just couldn't.
No.
If you want to get in touch with us, send us a voice message or a text to our WhatsApp number. It's in the show notes.
Do you poo in front of your partners? That's what I want to know. Do you, diggers, poo in front of your partners? And once you've done that, does it ruin the romance? What great messages.
Do you know what? We're done. That's it for today's episode. But if you want any more or even more questions and answers, become a member of the Potting Shed, just part of our gang, and then you will get longer episodes.
And remember, if you have any questions or comments or funny stories you would like to share, we love hearing from you. And thank you for reaching out with, you know, you tell us really moving stuff and you tell us very funny stuff. And it's all wonderfully relatable.
We will see you on Wednesday.
Bye, Jo. So good luck with the kitchen and good luck with the gorgeous kitten. And I'll see you for updates on Wednesday.
Bye.
Dig It is a Persephonica production.